But God and the plan of God and his wisdom, how many know he wanted to mesh those two worlds together? That's why he sent his son, made of a woman. I like that. We're just living as if these two realms are supposed to be separated, never understanding that the Father wants these two realms to meet. The Father desires that the heavenly, hear this, touch the earthly. We are commissioned, hear this, to pray that his will in heaven be done where? On the earth. Jesus is the pattern son for us to see the dynamic of operating in both realms at the same time. I mean, no, he operated in those realms at the same time. This is why Jesus was born of a woman, Mary, earthly. Amen. Dust through the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on, the breath of God overshadowing her so that she could conceive or manifest the Son. You see that picture there? Just like Adam was formed. You see the same thing when Jesus was birthed into the earth. Amen. He was birthed through an earthly woman. First realm. Mary said, how are you going to do that? The Spirit of God's going to overshadow you. Second realm. Heavenly realm. And you're going to conceive. And what are you going to do? Manifest a son. Operating from both realms. Oh, that's good to me. Jesus would have encounters with the Father in order for him to function in both realms at the same time. In other words, the signs and the wonders and the miracles that happened in the earth realm were directly related to what Jesus heard the Father say and do from the heavenly realm. John 5 and 18, 20 in the Amplified. This made the Jews more determined than ever to kill him, to do away with him. Because not only was he breaking or weakening or violating the Sabbath, but he actually was speaking of God as being, in a special sense, his own Father. Making himself equal, putting himself on a level with God. So Jesus answered them by saying, I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, the Son is able to do nothing of himself or of his own accord, but he is able to do only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does is what the Son does in the same way in his turn. Oh, I like that. The Father dearly loves the Son and discloses to or shows him everything that himself does. And he will disclose to him or let him see greater things than these, so that you may marvel and be full of wonder and astonishment. In other words, the miracles that Jesus performed in the earth realm were directly related to his time or his encounter he spent with the Father in the spiritual realm. He meshed these two worlds together. Amen. He walked around in an earth suit, but he accomplished spiritual things to the people who lived in that realm of the earth. In other words, he was a conduit, if you would, a portal, if you would, from heaven to earth. There was connection that he had made. If you can get a picture of him reaching up and the hand of God coming out of the heavens, and he grabs a hold and there's a connection made, and he connects these two worlds together at the same time. Yeah! I like that. And God has called us to do the same thing if we're going to manifest his Son in the earth. We're not called, hear this, we're not called to behave as mere men, but we are called to behave as the sons of God. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 3 in the Amplified says this, however, brethren, I could not talk to you as to spiritual men, but as to non-spiritual, men of the flesh in whom the carnal nature predominates, as to mere infants in the new life in Christ. Unable to talk yet. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not yet strong enough to be ready for it, but even yet you are not strong enough to be ready for it. For you are still unspiritual, having the nature of the flesh under the control of ordinary impulses. For as long as there are envying and jealousy and wrangling and factions among you, are you not unspiritual and of the flesh, behaving yourselves after a human standard and like mere unchanged men? How many know God has changed us not to function as mere men, but to function as the sons of God? That's why the change has taken place in you and I. That's why repentance from dead works has occurred in our life and faith toward God. We've been talking about that on Wednesday nights. Amen. We've been changed from one place to another. And God desires for us to grow up into him to where we're changed from glory to glory to glory. How many know it's a progress of maturing and getting closer and closer to him? Y'all stay with me. Stay with me. I'm getting close. Hear this. Where there is envy, strife, and divisions, there's carnality. If these things are prevalent in our lives, then we are behaving as mere men and not the sons of God. What are you talking about, brother? I'm talking about if you live in a life to where you're always bringing strife, you're always in an envious state, come on, you're always bringing about division, amen, stirring up trouble and everything. How many know you are not spiritual? Well, you know, we just going to pray for them. You are not spiritual. You are walking in carnality. Amen? You're walking in carnality if you're walking in these things and carrying out these things. It's being carnal. Amen? It's being childish. It's being untaught and unskilled in the things of God. Amen? How many know when I was a child, I thought as a child, I reasoned as a child, but when I became a man, put away childish things, I stopped walking in carnality. God is calling us to purify ourselves or to move from carnality, amen, into a place to where we grow up in Him. Ah, that's good. How do we start behaving? Now, here we go. In the divine dynamic of manifesting the Son. We must begin, hear this, to feed upon the solid food that's obtained from the bread of life. We just read it in 1 Corinthians. Where Paul said, you know, I couldn't feed you spiritual meat. I had to feed you milk. So the only way we're going to move out of this carnal state and begin to operate in the divine dynamic of manifesting the Son is we got to learn how to start eating some solid food and get off the bottle. Amen. We got to learn how to eat that solid food of the bread of life, the divine secrets and mysteries of heaven. Come on, somebody. The power and the anointings of the glory of God that we encounter, say encounter, when we have, say this, intimacy with Him. That's a key. That's a key. The encounters of intimacy that we have with Jesus, we need to understand and believe, we talked about it in our worship today, that there's a deposit made in our lives. There's a residue. Y'all heard that? There's a residue. There's an atmosphere that's created that not only fills this place and we feel His presence, but how many know that atmosphere gets on us? Amen. And we carry that everywhere we go. Amen. That only occurs when we encounter Him in times of intimacy. Amen. His atmosphere of His glory will surround us, and we carry that everywhere we go. Amen. We must have encounters with Him in intimacy. We see this in the pattern Son of Christ and His relationship with the Father. But we can also see this dynamic in Mary as the one who gives birth to the seed of God in her. So must we, hear this, give birth to the Son of God in us. Let's look at Luke chapter 1. I think this is so appropriate that we're here in this passage of Scripture because of being this time of year and this season, Christmas season. It's talking about the birth of Christ, but I want to bring out some things in this to help us understand how we can begin to operate in the divine dynamic of manifesting Son. Anybody want that? Anybody want to know that? Amen. Amen. I want to know how to manifest the Son. How do I begin to do this? And I'm telling you, the key is encountering Him in intimacy. Verse 26 of Luke chapter 1, out of the Amplified Bible says, now in the sixth month, after that, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee named Nazareth to a girl never having been married and a virgin engaged to be married to a man whose name was Joseph, a descendant of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. How many know the Bible already prophesied about this coming Messiah, this coming King whose kingdom would be an everlasting kingdom that would never end? Amen. He would come from the seed of David. Amen. And here we see this prophetic picture unfolding before us as Joseph is a descendant of the house of David. And verse 28 says, and he came to her and said, hail, O favored one, endued with grace. The Lord is with you. Blessed and favored of God are you before all other women. But when she saw him, she was greatly troubled and disturbed and confused at what he said. You ever been disturbed and distraught and confused at the word of the Lord that somebody would speak over your life or God would speak to you and you're like, oh, I don't see how that's going. What do you mean I'm going to do this, God? You know, kind of like Moses, I can't talk good. And you want me to lead 3 million Israelites across the desert? You know, what are you talking about, God? I can't do that. Amen. I mean, no, he don't call the qualified, but he qualifies the called. I like that. Amen. So She was greatly troubled and disturbed and confused at what he said and kept revolving in her mind what such a greeting might mean. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found grace, free, spontaneous, absolute favor and loving kindness with God. And listen, you will become pregnant and will give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and eminent and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his forefather David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob throughout the ages of his reign. There will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, listen to this, "How can this be, since I have no intimacy with a man as a husband?" Amen. I mean, no, it can't be unless you have some intimacy with your husband. You ain't going to produce nothing. Amen. How many know who our husband is? Amen. We are married to Christ. And then the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you like a shining cloud, so that the holy, pure, sinless thing or offspring which shall be born of you will be called the Son of God. And listen, your relative Elizabeth in her old age also has also conceived a son, and this is now the sixth month with her who was called barren." Verse 37 says, "For with God nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment." Somebody needs to grab a hold of that. Then Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord." Kind of sounds like what happened on the day of Pentecost. Amen. "In the last days, I'll pour up my spirit upon your handmaidens." Amen. Y'all remember that? "And they shall" what? "Begin to prophesy." Amen. "And speak the good things and the works of God." And here she says, "You know what? I'll be a handmaiden for you, Lord. Let it be done to me," hear this, "according to what you have said." How many know that needs to be the response to God when he begins to speak a word of our life? "God, let it be unto me according to your word." And at that, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to the town of Judah. How many, she went into a place of praise. Hey, got the word of the Lord now. And she went to the house of Zechariah, and entering it, she saluted Elizabeth. Hear this, I love this. "And it occurred that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, that the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud cry and then exclaimed," she began to prophesy, "blessed," the same word that the angel had spoken, "favored of God above all other women are you, and blessed, favored of God, is the fruit of your womb." She began to prophesy when she encountered Mary, and remember that, "and how have I deserved that this honor should be granted to me, that the mother of my Lord shall come to me." Man, she's prophesying of what's going on in Mary. "For behold, the instant the sound of your salutation reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy, and blessed, happy to be envied is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of the things that were spoken to her from the Lord." Now listen to this. Through Mary's encounter with the Spirit of God, an impartation was given to her to conceive in her womb the Son of God. Hear that? So when we have encounters with the Spirit of God, an impartation is given to us. Amen? Or rather, there's a deposit that's given to us, the seed of God made in us also, so that we can bring forth the Son of God in our lives also. Let me say it again. When we have encounters with the Spirit of God, there will be a deposit of the seed of God made in us also, so that we can bring forth the Son of God in our lives also. This residue, we've heard this before, will create an atmosphere that we will carry with us, that will cause others we encounter to experience the same power, the same anointing that we've received. Just like Elizabeth, you see that picture? Received when she came in contact with Mary, there was an atmosphere that Mary carried with her. Why? Because she'd had an encounter with the Lord. He had overshadowed her with his spirit, and he had put a seed inside of her that she conceived to begin to manifest the Son of God in her life. And she carried that atmosphere that she had encountered with her. And when she came to Elizabeth, guess what? Boom. Elizabeth said, "Whoa, what's going on?" She was filled with the Holy Ghost because of the atmosphere that Mary was carrying with her. Hear that, church. How did that take place? Because she had an encounter with the Lord. A place of intimacy had been made, and an encounter was given to her in that place, that there was an atmosphere, a residue of his presence that was on her that just didn't stay there for a moment, but how many know it lingered with her? It began to saturate her, that when she came to Elizabeth, amen, she carried that and it affected those she came in contact with. In other words, heaven was touching the earth. When we believe the word of the Lord over our lives and the experiences that we have when we encounter him, we will begin to carry this divine dynamic of manifesting the Son. Hear this, everywhere that we go. We'll move from carnality into sonship. And let me make this declaration as you stand to your feet. Why don't we just begin to receive the favor of his encounter? Amen. How many know we had a favor of his encounter in our worship today? As the word of God's coming forth right now, how many know we are encountering his presence and his spirit? Amen. The anointing that's on my life, amen, as being the shepherd of the house and God giving me the word of the Lord to bring to you, amen, there's an anointing on that. Amen. There's an anointing on that. Amen. That causes us to have an encounter with what the Lord is saying to us at this moment. Amen. So we need to take that in. Come on, receive the favor of his encounter and carry the atmosphere of his glory so that his kingdom may be established everywhere we go. How many in this place will receive that today? Come on, lift your hands in here. Come on, close your eyes. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. God, I thank you for the divine dynamic of your presence, God, that we are experiencing in this place even now, God. God, let us always be mindful that the encounters that we have with you in times of intimacy, Lord God, that God, you're going to get your residue on us. God, you're going to put your presence on us, Lord God. God, that's going to penetrate the very fiber of our spirit, Lord God, that we will carry that atmosphere to the people that we come in contact with, God, that they would be affected by the encounter that we have had with you, God. This is a divine dynamic, Lord, that you have given us as the sons of God in the earth, God. And God, we decree right now, Father, that we're going to receive. Come on, why don't you lift your hands all over this building? God, we're going to receive this divine dynamic of manifesting the Son, God, because we're going to decree, God, and declare together, God, that we will have encounters of intimacy with you, God. When we gather together in this place as the corporate body, God, when we're at home reading the Word of God and praying by ourselves, God, when we're driving down the road to go to our jobs or go to school, Father, God, we decree that we want an encounter with you, God. We will steal away some time, Lord, just to have a time of intimacy with you, God, that we would encounter your presence. God, I believe, Father, as the shepherd of this house, God, that every time we gather together on Sundays and Wednesdays and any other appointed time that we gather, Father, that we can have an encounter with your presence and your glory, God, every time, Lord. We don't have to suffer through, Lord God, times to where we don't experience and encounter you, Lord God. God, we might not all be falling out in the floor, God, or speaking in tongues, but God, there is a deposit from your word, God. There's a deposit, there's an encounter, a manifestation that we'll hear from the singing of worship, Lord God, from acknowledging and exhorting one another and building each other up, God. There's a deposit and a residue that's given through those encounters that we have with the people of God, Father, that creates an atmosphere around us, Lord, that we carry everywhere we go. Father, we receive it right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, the encounter that we've had today of intimacy with you, Lord, that we would carry that atmosphere with us the rest of the week, God. I thank you, God, that this holy congregation, like we've said, God, has set the tone for our week. We've just rehearsed in this place today, Lord God, what we're going to experience the rest of this week. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, we just take a few moments here, God, and we say thank you, God. We receive. Come on, why don't you tell him, I receive, Lord, what you're doing. I receive what you're doing. I receive the deposit, God. I receive the residue, God. I receive the atmosphere, God, that is on me right now, God, to take it and be a carrier of your presence, God. I thank you, God, that we are clay vessels, God, that have poured ourselves out in worship and praise unto you today, Lord God. And God, you have covered us in your divine nature, that we could go and pour out on others, God, that we come in contact this week. God, I thank you for miracles, signs, and wonders, God, and people who will be astonished, God, by the things that they're going to see us walk in this week, Father. In the name of Jesus, we receive it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, I tell you what, I don't want to leave without giving an opportunity. Anybody needs special prayer for anything before we go ahead and dismiss? I appreciate you guys being here today. Amen. This place was more anointed because you were here. Amen, Lady J. Amen. All these spices that are gathered here. Amen. Makes this place more anointed. I appreciate you guys being here and participating. I'm telling you, there's a residue. Amen. There's an encounter that we had today. We're going to carry with us this week in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I tell you what, hug somebody. Love on them. Tell them you need them. Got to have them in your life. Encourage them. Exhort them. Come on. Edify them. Right now, we'll see you again on Wednesday.